Good morning.
It's good to see each one here this morning. We are grateful for your presence. I hope that if you haven't already done so, you will open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 10. Because this account that Mark gives us in this particular passage is going to be the text for our lesson this morning. Now, I am not under any pretense that this particular passage of Scripture is unfamiliar to anyone here. As a matter of fact, it's one of the most familiar interactions that Jesus has that we have recorded in the gospel accounts. We call it the story of the rich young ruler, and how this young man comes to Jesus as he is traveling with a very important question. But if you've picked up one of the sheets at the back already, or if you've been looking at the screen already, you know that the title that I have given this particular lesson is Grief That Could Have Been Avoided. You know, as we examine life, there are many different kinds of grief. It comes from many different sources. Sometimes there is grief that is the kind of grief that is unavoidable. It's going to happen no matter what we do. We could put the category of death into this particular arena. Death is going to come no matter what happens. It is going to be something that impacts the lives of each and every one of us in some way at some time. It is simply a fact of life. But, you know, there's another kind of grief as well. Sometimes there's grief that is brought upon us that comes from the actions of others. Sometimes people say and do things to us that hurt us and that cause us to grieve. Sometimes there's torments that come because of the choices of others that bring grief into our lives. And yet they're things not that we have done, but that others have done. But you know, there's a third category of grief as well. This category of grief is grief that comes upon our lives because of the choices that we have made. You know, many times it's the case that in the first two categories, the grief that we deal with are things that are unavoidable. They're things that we have no control over. I can't control somebody else's tongue. I can't control somebody else's actions. I can't control the circumstances that take place in various aspects of my life. There are things that are beyond my control. They're unavoidable. But there are kinds of grief. There are things that happen in my life that I can control. And there are times where I bring grief upon myself based upon the choices that I make. When you examine Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, you see in the rich young ruler a man who experiences grief that he could have avoided. Grief that did not have to be the case. It wasn't something that was unavoidable. It wasn't something that somebody else is doing to him that he cannot control. But here is a grief that he experiences because of what Jesus tells him when it comes to how to get to heaven. How to receive eternal life. This morning I want us to consider what the rich young ruler does. Who the rich young ruler is based upon what we know about him. And examine our own lives to see whether or not by the choices that we are making and the way that we respond to God when God says, here is what I want you to do, whether we are burdening ourselves in our lives with grief that we could avoid. Grief that doesn't have to be there, but it is there because of the choices that we're making in our lives. First of all, let's begin by examining the rich young ruler. What do we see about him? What do we know about him? I would submit to you this morning that if we just took the time to examine the qualities, as we're going to do for the next few moments, of this rich young ruler, you would see many admirable traits in this young man. I want you to consider five different things that we learn about this young man from these verses. It says that as Jesus was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Notice in the first place that when you examine this young man, you find that you've got somebody who's running to Christ. He's looking in the right direction. He has come to the right place. You're not looking at somebody who is going and looking for somebody who is simply going to tell him what it is he wants to hear. He's not conducting a survey of all of the popular beliefs and opinions that his world has to offer. Instead, he comes running to Christ. He comes running to someone that he is fully convinced has the answer to his question. You know, we live in a world where so many people determine what it is they believe and what it is that they hold to be the truth based upon what is popular, based upon what the polling says. You know, we get so wrapped up in our society over how many percentage of the population agrees with us on various issues, as though that somehow matters when it comes to truth and what is right. The rich young ruler is not conducting a poll. He comes and he runs to Jesus. He runs to a source of authority that he recognizes and that he trusts to give him an accurate answer. He's looking in the right place. You know, sometimes we see people who will get upset. Or maybe they will get frustrated at times because individuals will read their Bibles and they'll get all kinds of different questions and all kinds of different ideas, and nothing seems to be making sense or nothing seems to be sinking in. And they're like, "Why do you even bother?" When what we really need to do is step back and applaud them that at least they're looking in the right place. They're going to the right source for their information. Now, they may not be understanding what they're reading, and they may not be applying it properly, but at least they're looking at the right place. That's what this young ruler was doing. He went to the right place. He comes running to Jesus. But in the second place, not only does he come running to Jesus, he shows humility. What does he do when he reaches Jesus? He bows before him. Now, remember the description. This is a rich young ruler. He is a man with authority. He is a man who has at least some semblance of power to his name. And yet what does he do when he comes to Jesus? He bows. He kneels. He shows Jesus respect for who he is. He even speaks to him in a manner of respect. He says, "Good teacher." That is a statement that would be made in the Jewish system of somebody who was respected and honored for who they were. Here is not some, as we might say, or as I heard a lot growing up, some young pup who's walked up and he's going to stand nose to nose to Jesus and he's just going to demand an answer and he's going to get his answer what for and why all this is the case. No. He comes running before the Lord and he kneels before him as a servant and says, "Good teacher, what should I do so that I can have eternal life?" There is a humility to this young man that is admirable and that this world could stand to see a whole lot more of. But then in the third place, this young man also has courage. Notice he asked the question of Jesus. He says, what should I do that I might inherit eternal life? And you know what Jesus does? He simply quotes him the Old Testament, and specifically the Ten Commandments. He says, well, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud, honor your father and mother. He gives him the standard recitation. But you know, here's a young man who had the courage to say, I've done all these from the time I was a boy. But he realizes there's something missing. He realizes there's got to be something more. There's something more that he doesn't understand, that he hasn't figured out, that is standing in his way, and he doesn't know what it is, and he has the courage to say, what else? You know what most people would do given the answer that Jesus gave? Oh, all right, I'm good. And turn around and walk away. Not this young man. This young man responds to Jesus and he says, teacher, I've done all of these things from my youth. And you can tell by the statement, what am I missing? You know, it takes courage for somebody to admit they don't know something. For somebody to admit they don't have an answer to something. For somebody to stand before another and say, can you help me? This young man had courage to ask the question that needed to be asked, that his heart was so desirous to have an answer to. What do I have to do to have eternal life? I've done all of the basic things. What else is there? But you know, in the fourth place, he was discerning. He was discerning. Here was not a man who, unlike so many other instances, was asking Jesus a question, not caring what the answer was. He wasn't trying to trick Jesus. He wasn't trying to, in some way, slip Jesus up or get him to say something that he shouldn't have said. Here is a man who is sincere. He is listening to what Jesus has to say. And he even listens when Jesus tells him, one thing you're lacking. It's not a matter that it hasn't sunk in. It's not a matter that he doesn't know what it is that Jesus means by what he says. He is thinking. He is serious. He is studious. He truly wants to know. And then in the fifth place, he was spiritual. Look around our world today. How many times do you see a rich young anything concerned about anything beyond this moment? Right here, right now, what's right in front of me. Here was a young man who was concerned about eternity. He was concerned with what it was going to take for him to be right in the sight of God for all eternity. Now, he didn't know what that answer was. And we'll talk about in a minute his reaction to the answer. But if we stopped right here with this young man and the things that we learn about him in these few short verses, isn't this the kind of person we're begging to find from a spiritual perspective? This is the kind of person that, as a preacher, I'm sitting around every day just praying that I come into contact with this person, that I have the opportunity to talk to this person. You know why? Because this person has all the criteria of somebody who's going to be obedient to God. This is the kind of person we want more of in our world. So what went wrong? I mean, if you simply look at the qualities that this young man has, the answer you would think would be when Jesus gives him the response to his question, he says, "Okay, I'll do whatever it is you said," and he lived happily ever after. But that's not the way it ends, is it? Why did he fail? What went wrong? When you consider the rich young ruler, I want you to notice three things that contributed to why he walked away with grief that he could have avoided. Number one, he walks away grieved because his possessions were the most important thing in his life. It's not because simply that he has possessions. Yes, I know that that's what's up on the screen. But it's that he loves those possessions. Those possessions are the most important thing that he has. Those lands, those properties, those riches, those wealth, those status symbols of his day and time were the things of the greatest importance to him. And Jesus told him he had to be willing to give those up. So let me ask you this morning, what is the most important thing in your life to you? Is it your family? Is it your job? Is it your possessions? Is it your retirement? Is it your athletics? Is it your school activities? Is it yourself? What do you love enough to be able to look the Lord in the eye and walk away from Him? Because that's exactly what the rich young ruler did. And folks, that is exactly what millions of people are doing in our world right now. What do you love enough to keep it between you and eternal life? Not only did this young man love possessions, but you know, verse 22 says, he went away sorrowful. He went away grieved. But notice, his grief was not because he was penitent. His grief was not because he knew he had been holding something between him and God and he was sorry that he had done it. His grief was because he knew what he had and he wasn't going to be willing to let it go. Here is a young man who's looking for the right answer. He's going to the right place. He's asking the right questions. He's seeking the right things. And yet when he finds it, it is the one thing he cannot bring himself to let go of. And that is what grieves him. Not that he was wrong, not that he had made a mistake, but that the Lord said, you've got to give up what is the most important to you. And he could not, because he would not do it. When you look at the rich young ruler, he failed because his desires were good. He sought eternal life. He was seeking to do what was right. But one desire was greater. Eternal life ranked number 2 to his possessions. That's why he failed. Do you realize how many people are standing in a place where they, like this rich young ruler, are seeking eternal life? They're asking questions. They're looking even in the right places to find them. But they fall short where they are right now because there's something else more important. You know, I have said in the home of individuals, studying the Bible with them, and they believe the Bible, they want to follow the Bible, they want to be what God wants them to be, they want to do what God wants them to do, and then you reach that point. Bill knows what I'm talking about. You reach that point where they have to make a choice. For some it's, I reach that point where I have to admit that I believe the Bible says something different than what my parents told me it said, or what my parents believed. Do you know there are more people walking away sorrowful from Jesus because of the lack of belief, the unwillingness to believe that baptism is essential for salvation than anything else right now? They believe in Jesus. They believe the necessity of a good life. They believe in having to make right choices and do all of these things. But then you tell them that they must be immersed in water in order to be saved. And you know what they do? Walk out the door. Because it's not the answer they wanted to hear. I sat in the living room of a young woman on one occasion. We'd been studying for a number of weeks. And she sat there on the couch crying. Because she knew what she needed to do. She had never seen these things before. She'd never understood them before. And she knew where she was. And she went upstairs and she talked with her husband about it. And her husband said, "I'm not going to do it." And she never did. Because her husband was her greatest possession. As we go through our lives, as we seek to answer the questions that the rich young ruler is trying to answer, as we seek to know what God wants us to do in order to be saved, we have to face the very same choice that he did. What is most important to you? Is God first? Not in the top 3. Not in the top 2. Not very important. Is obedience to God and eternal life first in our priorities? If it's not, we will be like the rich young ruler. Because for all of our good qualities, for all of our good intentions, we will fail. Because there's something that's more important to us than Him. The rich young ruler didn't have to walk away sorrowful. The rich young ruler, I was talking with Tim about it before services this morning, both of us were saying, you know, we'd like to think that somewhere down the line, that young man had a change of heart and came to believe and to do what his Lord told him to do. But we can't say that he did, because we don't have the information. But he could have at any time, if he was willing to make the choice. It is grief that can be avoided. So as we have to try to answer in our lives, when the Lord says to us, if you are going to receive eternal life, you have to do this. You have to live in this way. You have to worship me according to this standard. You have to follow these things. You have to be willing to come to me. What will you say? How will you respond? Will we, with, as Paul would describe it, the godly sorrow that works repentance, lay aside those weights which so easily beset us and put Jesus first? Or will we instead, like the rich young ruler, walk away with grief that we could avoid because we put something else first? I can't answer for you, just like you can't answer for me. But we will all answer to Him. So what is your answer this morning? Have you been holding back on being obedient to the gospel because something else has been more important to you? Something else has been of a greater priority in your life? Why not come this morning believing on His name, repenting of your sins, confessing Him before men, and being immersed in water to have your sins washed away? Maybe you're already a member of the body of Christ, but you have been letting the priorities of your life stand in the way of where you need to be in your relationship with God in order to receive the promises of the righteous and the faithful. If you need to get your life right today, if there is any way that we can help you, whether it be in praying for you and encouraging you, and we can assist you at any point, why not come now as we stand and as we sing?